This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
We're the 29th pick. The New England Patriots like...
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Time for another Draft Prospect Review here at Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart and Paul Pearl are going to be talking linebackers. Our final position that we will break down before the 2013 NFL Draft. I'm going to start on the inside, Andy, because if you have one guy that sort of stood above all the rest, not for anything on the field this season, but for the incredibly bizarre story off the field, a combine situation unlike any that we've ever seen in the short time that we've been involved in the combine. Well, definitely short time I've been involved, but you've been around for about 10 years now. Manti Te'o's situation at the combine was unlike anything we've ever seen.
And he hit a home run.
And he hit a home run.
But answering the questions about his, you know, naivete and the whole story with the fake girlfriend. But, you know, we're not really about that. I know teams had to get questions answered. And from everything I've read, teams felt he was sincere and honest and did a great job in his team interviews as well as in the media interviews. To me, the bigger question is, you know, how good is he?
Well, that's what I want to say. Can he play?
I think he's highly overrated. I think he's a solid player. I don't see any one thing that he does overly well. People are trying to paint him as a coverage linebacker because he had all those interceptions. They were thrown right to him, half of them. And I don't know if people know this. I don't believe he had a single career interception before last year.
He didn't.
So he goes from zero as a coverage linebacker, people want to paint him as. Now, admittedly, he dropped some weight. He tried to get a little more athletic for his senior year. Had a very good year. But the other end of that spectrum was the end of that senior year, he got his ass kicked by a very good, powerful Alabama offensive
pro
line.
Pro-style players.
I have major concerns about him. Again, I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's going to be the bust type where he's out of the league in 3 years.
No.
I think he could have a very long 10, 12-year career as just a guy. As a guy
who
makes some tackles.
And you want him picked where? Second or third round?
Well, you know, some people think he's going to be a late first-round
right.
pick.
But you him in the second round.
Yeah, late second, early third is where you get those guys who, to me, doesn't have a tremendous amount of upside. You know, I know a lot of people in Baltimore thought, oh, we'll just slide him right into the Ray Lewis spot. I think you're going to be so sadly disappointed if you do that forever. I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest linebackers in the history of the game, a defensive player of the year type guy who can rush the passer, force fumbles, big hits, solid tackler, all of that, to this guy who, to me, again, is a fine football player, but just a guy. Not a Hall of Fame talent. Not, in my opinion, despite the seven interceptions, an impact playmaker. I think the story of Manti Te'o on and off the field was greatly just overblown. It was sort of a media creation, and I just don't see the value in picking him.
Now, there aren't a ton of inside linebackers in this draft that even figure really to get taken. It's a sort of a dying position. I talk a little bit. I know that breaks your heart, Andy. You talk about fullbacks. You talk about the prototypical middle linebacker, run-stuffing middle linebackers, but I think today, and if you disagree, you can explain why, with the advent of all of these different kinds of offenses that we're seeing a lot of this pistol stuff, that all these athletic quarterbacks, the running quarterbacks like Kaepernick and Wilson and RG3 and, and these different types of players, I think you're sort of looking for more versatile linebackers as well to be able to run with them. And I don't know if you can have that 260, 270-pound guy, unless he's really special athletically, that can do it. And I'm wondering if there's a direct correlation. You know, you look at NFL Draft Scout, they only have about six or seven guys that they have with draftable grades right now at the position. That's somewhat unheard of to have that few guys. But there are some good athletes here. And I'm interested in your opinion on some SEC guys, Andy. Kevin Minter from LSU, John Bostic from Florida, Nico Johnson from Alabama, three guys that played in the highest level conference there is in college football. Did any of these guys stand out to you? Do you like any of them?
I think Bostic's the best of the three that you just mentioned.
I would agree.
Minter, he's fine. Good tackle to tackle, solid kind of guy. I didn't think he was overly quick. Stout, you know, he's a little shorter, more compact frame, sort of looks like a middle linebacker, I guess. But I thought Bostic and Johnson, to me, I mean, he was basically a two-down linebacker at Alabama.
Right.
So you know my theory about things get harder and you go down the curve.
You go down the steps.
So if you're only a two-down linebacker at Alabama, that probably means you might be Freddie Roach and don't have an NFL future. And that's not a shot against him. I know, yesterday somebody criticized me because I, had some things that I didn't like about D. Milner. I understand they're playing elite college football. I'm trying to ask, can they play elite NFL football? Can they fit the NFL game? And I'm not sure that you can say that about guys like Johnson and even Minter. Bostic, I think, has enough versatility where he can be a middle linebacker. I think he could be an outside linebacker in a 4-3 front.
Sure.
I think he has enough athleticism, enough speed, is reasonably stout to play the run, although, as you mentioned, that's probably lesser of the skills needed these days. If you're going to just play the run, you're not going to play. Beyond that, you need to either be able to drop and do some coverage things or be an impact guy in the pass rush
somehow. At the very least, you need to be able to make some plays in space.
Correct.
You need to get out and cover some backs on screen passes. And you know, things that we've seen, Gerard Mayo is not a great coverage linebacker, but he's great on screens,
mm-hmm.
And you know, if that makes any sense. I think he's great diagnosing plays, and he has the athleticism, he has the quickness to get out to the sideline fast enough to disrupt some of those plays. I see some of those kinds of qualities. Bostic, I agree with you. I thought there was some athleticism there. Another kid from Oregon, before I move on, you know, to your favorite guy out of this position. Kiko Alonso, I thought, was pretty fast and athletic. And to be fair, you said you don't think there's a lot of real top flight. Most of these guys are thought of as third round, fourth round. You know, as you move further, Minter might be a little bit higher rated than that. But most of these guys are considered third or fourth round type prospects. Kiko Alonso is a guy I thought that had some pretty good mobility and speed.
Yeah, I liked his length. A lot of people consider him sort of a coverage linebacker, which most people know I don't think really exists. I think no one makes their money being a coverage linebacker. It just doesn't happen. It's too hard.
We watched during training camp, to illustrate your point, Andy, and I'll let you get back to it. We watched during training camp that every year they do those one-on-ones. The running backs come out of the backfield and take on a linebacker one-on-one. The percentage of completions in that drill in the 15 years that I've been doing this has to be over 95%.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible for running backs to cover, for linebackers to cover running backs one on one in space.
And then you get into this day and age of the tight ends and the split tight ends, and it's a thankless, impossible job in my opinion. So, you know, drafting a guy that you say, well, he's going to do that, he's going to bring that to our defense, I just think is a poor investment. He has a lot of off field issues as well. Drinking issues, burglary issues, multiple suspensions. So I'm just not infatuated with the idea, oh, I'm going to draft this guy because he's going to be a coverage linebacker, beyond the point that he's kind of a punk and has some major character flaws.
Now, up on Patriots.com right now is a little bit of a mock draft that we did for Patriots today.
I think Bilo took the term literally.
Mock?
Yeah.
He made a mockery
of
it?
Because the rest of us, I think, made legitimate picks, and Bilo didn't.
So you want to check that out right now. Jackie Britton and Brian Lowe, the co-hosts of Patriots Today, were kind enough to invite Andy Hart and myself to make some picks for the first three rounds. And without question, the most interesting of the, whatever, 12 picks that we made, because we all came up with three different picks for each of our three rounds, Brian Lowe.
Is interesting a synonym for terrible?
Brian Lowe
idiotic,
went with a gentleman by the name of A.J. Klein.
And I f***ed that up.
Inside linebacker from Iowa State.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Thoughts, Andy?
I think it's terrible. A.J. Klein's claim to fame is four picks returned for touchdowns. I think he's like the all-time NCAA leader for linebackers or blah, blah, blah. You know, most people think he's a fourth-round pick somewhere in there, fifth-round pick.
Brian Lowe thinks he's a second-round pick.
Lowe thinks he's a second-round pick for a team that I'm not sure needs a ton of help at linebacker. I think they have pretty good depth there with Mayo and Spikes and Hightower, you know, Fletcher coming back. They have decent numbers there. To me, he's just a guy. You know, he had a little bit of a knee injury at the combine, but he's not powerful. Just average speed and quickness. I mean, his highlights look great. You know, a couple times he broke out on you know, he's in zone coverage and breaks out in front of a guy down the seam and returns it for a touchdown. It looks good. It's a nice highlight. But I just don't know really what value he brings to a football team, and certainly not a team that, in my opinion, has two or three pretty legitimate needs that they'd like to fill in this draft. To use one of those picks to reach for a coverage inside linebacker, I don't get it.
All right, so that way I wanted to give Andy the opportunity to do that because he had
he blew the pick. His name's Blow, and he blew the pick.
He had quite a bit of fun with Brian Lowe yesterday. when we were taping that, and you can check that out on Patriots.com right now. It's
God,
up.
I hope they don't take him in the second round.
And yeah, if there's a little bit on the line for Andy Hart and Brian Lowe on that particular pick. I want to move outside though, Andy, because as few prospects as there are inside, I would say the opposite is true outside. And when you throw in guys like Deion Jordan and Barkevious Mingo that we've already really talked about as defensive ends that are really kind of outside linebacker types, this is a pretty deep area of talent. There's some fast, athletic, pass-rushing types. Which ones were at the top of your list?
Well, obviously...
besides those two.
Well, you talked about Deion Jordan, and he's... well, Mingo is, to me, the best kind of the edge guys.
I like Mingo a lot.
And Deion Jordan has a lot of potential. You know, the idea of him, sort of that Jason Taylor, long, lanky, lean build. But he is a little bit more potential at this point than he is finished product or actual production on the football field. So that's a concern with him. If you want to go the other end of the spectrum, production, it's Jarvis Jones out of Georgia, who a little bit shorter, but led the country in sacks, I think tackles for loss, you know, those types of plays.
Very disruptive player.
Very disruptive player, you know, around the football a lot, not just when it's the quarterback. But, you know, at 6'3", 245, you know, he's not the ideal old-school Patriots outside linebacker. Certainly isn't really a hand-in-the-dirt 4-3 defensive end. You know, I've sort of said he looks to me like the perfect Pittsburgh Steeler. They've always had those undersized outside linebackers who get after the passer. You know, the James Harrison, the Lamar Woodley, you know, seems like they're always had a few of those shorter guys. They like that. To me, he'd be the perfect guy for them. There's been a lot of rumors of him maybe to the Jets. But he is a guy that not everything looks perfect. The measurables, not like a Deion Jordan or some of these other freaks, but just the production, hard to look past. Then you have a lot of guys that are, I find this intriguing, and I think Nick Caserio addressed it a little bit this week, these bulked-up safety types, you know, these guys that are now linebackers who are, you know, 230, 240 pounds, who started their careers as defensive backs, as safeties. And, you know, they're not real stout. If you're looking for a guy to take on a guard, Ted Johnson-style, two-gap, these aren't your guys. But they make a lot of plays. You know, you got Kasim Green out of Rutgers, two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. Probably needs a little protection, needs to be allowed to run around. But if you allow him to run around, he can make some plays. Alec Ogletree, another guy in that same mold from Georgia. Now, the Georgia defense, I do think it's interesting. They're a pretty talented group with Ogletree, Jones, Jenkins. And you wonder kind of how that was, you know, that old Ravens thing in
the
Dallas Thomas. And I think it was Jones, but I'm not 100% sure. But Ogletree, a very good athlete, has some off-field issues. By the way, with Jones, I probably should have mentioned he has the spinal stenosis issue, which has apparently been deemed okay by most teams. So theoretically, that's not an issue, and you can just get back to assessing him as a football player. And another guy I found interesting, and I actually liked him on tape. I watched him today, former safety, Southern Miss, Jamie Collins, who a bulked-up safety type. And actually, just a few minutes ago, I saw Pete Prisco did a mock draft where he had Jamie Collins going to the Patriots in the first round, which is a little strange because most people think he's a third to fifth round prospect. So I think that would be a strange pick. That hybrid type, I guess if you envision Bill Belichick using, you know, the Tank Williams back in the day and these hybrid nickel linebackers that can rush the passer a little bit, can cover a little bit. He's a guy, 6'4", 250. Has bulked up, has shown the ability to get after the passer, but still has some of that athleticism. Might be an intriguing guy for a lot of teams. I don't see him fitting here, but
I liked him because I thought that he showed some signs of being able to set the edge too. And you didn't see a lot of these guys, as you talked about, Andy, bulked up safeties. They just said, "I'm going to run around the corner and get after the quarterback." And a lot of these guys were good at that. You know, C.O. Moore from UConn, a local guy here. He was a very athletic guy coming around the edge, but he looked like, I like to call them Chris Slade types. And I know Chris Slade, you know, had a very solid career here for New England. All Chris Slade wanted to do was run around the tackle and try to get into the backfield and get the quarterback. And good quarterbacks tend to step up into the pocket and rendered Chris Slade useless. A lot of guys were like that on this tape. I thought that your boy Collins from Southern Miss, I thought he showed signs of being able to do some different things. Wasn't just a one-trick pony. And that's what I liked about it.
So how you like that, B-Lo? If they're going to reach on a fourth or a fifth round linebacker, I'd rather it be Jamie Collins than A.J. Klein. At least a guy with a little more athleticism, a little more versatility, can get after the passer. C.O. Moore, you're right. As a college player, good player.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think he has much of a future in the NFL. 6'1", 240, played defensive end mostly at UConn, is obviously not going to be that pure defensive end. So now he's an outside linebacker. There's a bunch of those guys. I just don't know the fit. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, as Caserio brought up, maybe the NFL, as it kind of has happened on offense with quarterbacks and tight ends, maybe the NFL defenses will trend in that direction, and the days of your defensive ends having to be 280 are gone. Maybe we're going to start seeing 260-pound, 250-pound defensive ends.
Well, we're going to find out, because a lot of these guys are even smaller
than that.
We've
seen it a little bit here. I mean, Rob Ninkovich is an undersized defensive end.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's the direction of defense. Maybe this whole basketball on grass theory, smaller athletic players, maybe that's the trend. I don't know.
And I had mentioned this, and I know we're going a little long here, but I mentioned this on PFW in Progress. Is that, you know, people were talking about, oh, I'd love to get a star Lotulelei to go next to Vince Wilfork. And I'm like, well, why? It seems like everybody's getting away from that.
How do you think it would go if Michael Manawanui had to block star Lotulelei?
In the Manawanui
Lotulelei. Where's Don Cricky? That's his nightmare.
Matchup. I think you can get away with having a guy or two or three on the field that aren't overly quick and fast, but I don't know if you want to have too many guys like that.
Right.
This is what I think you're going to. You're going to 240, 250-pound guys that can move and get out and cover people and make tackles in space, and we'll find out which ones of these guys can play. But there's a pretty long list of guys here that are mentioned. Any late round guys that jumped off the page at you? I thought there were a lot of 4-3 weak side linebacker guys, a lot of Wills, as they like to call them. I thought there was a reasonable amount of guys. I didn't see a lot of prototypical 3-4 outside linebackers that I really liked.
And the ones they are, as I said, I think they're sort of the Pittsburgh mold out, not the Bill Belichick. And maybe that's why Bill Belichick is more of a 4-3 guy now, because he stopped being able to find the guys he needed to play his 3-4. And this would be another year that if we were looking for that guy, the pure 3-4 outside linebacker, there'd be some. You know, you'd look at Ansah, you'd look at Dayton Jones, some of those guys, but I think they'd be few and far between.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at my notes here and just come up with
AJ Klein would be a fine seventh round pick.
A late guy here on the outside. Devontae Holloman, not necessarily a late third round type. That's one of the only problem here is you just don't know how much Clowney helped him, at South Carolina. But I think that he is a guy that showed some athleticism. Again,
he's another one of those safeties that bulked up.
Oh, absolutely. 245, 250. They're small, but they're athletic, and we'll find out how many of these guys are going to get taken. But this is our last position, Andy. So we're going to do one more quick one before we have the draft come up on Thursday night. We'll sort of wrap it up and give you your thoughts and maybe give us some picks. That sound like an idea?
Sure.
All right, so that's going to be it for linebackers for now. That's going to put a wrap on our final position for the draft prospect review.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.